quite often than necessary. When you think of a particular kind of community, a single story is sold. And that becomes the problem narrative of people, of communities, and of places. But our lives are not that uncomplicated. You and I are dealing with everyday life and taking each day as it comes, with obviously nunchai on the side. Sometimes the dirt gets a little too much, but we manage to sail through. I'm your host, Isbind. Welcome to my podcast, Hurricane Hearts, where we will be talking to people like you and I about struggles of each waking day, love and hopelessness, spots around Kashmir that feel more like home than home itself, and about things that keep us motivated, like sunsets around Dal Lake. And lastly, self-care tips for that poor heart of ours. Each episode aims at taking you on a trip, one that you're acquainted with but doesn't form the popular narrative, a trip to you and I. It is Polycystic Ovary Syndrome Awareness Month, and when better to talk about it than now? In today's episode, I talk to a guest on her experience with polycystic ovary syndrome, her experience of growing up with it, stresses around it, and how doctors have treated her. I also talk to a PCOS specialist on my show today, myths around PCOS, and what she in her capacity has done differently in Kashmir to treat women with PCOS. Towards the end, we'll play our episode's featured music by a very talented young girl. So do stay till the end of the podcast. My first guest today is Samreen. Samreen has contributed journalistically through her writings. She was diagnosed with PCOS in 2013 and has been dealing with weight gain, acne, and hair loss for the past 7 years. Some of the common issues associated with PCOS apart from an irregular cycle. In the last 7 years, Samreen has consulted many doctors in Kashmir for the same. I asked Samreen where she is at right now on her journey with PCOS.
Currently, I'm on metformin, primarily for insulin resistance. My journey with PCOS is actually sad. So it's been close to a decade and I'm struggling with weight issues. And believe me, when someone's overweight, there are multiple insecurities and other health risks that follow. The idea that I gain weight easily and I already am overweight doesn't really leave me alone. It finds me even in the darkest corner of wherever I am. It would be ungrateful to say that I don't eat good food, that I don't enjoy all other things in life. But yes, the fear of weight gain remains. I was never really a big girl all my life. It just started nearly around the year 2013. I have such a poor metabolism that if I stop the medication, I might as well gain pounds by having water. So that's how it's been for me. For a portion of my teenage years, I've had acne, but I don't really think that it was a symptom of PCOS because it wasn't cystic acne. I have visited a few dermatologists for acne and hair loss. The medication that was prescribed by them is not a permanent solution. I mean, how long do I keep on applying minoxidil on my hair and benzoic acid creams on my face? 2 months? 3 months? So the whole point boils down to treating cystic ovaries.
And how has your experience been with doctors in Kashmir?
I've never really been told by a doctor, or for that matter anyone, that PCOS gets better after marriage. So it's the age of science and technology, untruths never really have a place. PCOS just gets better after a lifestyle change. Yes, all the doctors I've been to didn't ever shy away from explaining it to me how bad the condition can get if I keep on gaining weight, or what exactly PCOS does to the whole body. See, it's not just cysts on the ovaries, it's body hair, it's acne, weight gain, hair loss, insulin resistance, and so much more. The doctors here have been too supportive and have always been transparent about the whole thing. Yes, doctors in Kashmir have given everything to the patients that they can. It's up to the patient to think for their life. I mean, a doctor won't physically come to you for a walk on the treadmill or won't really check whether you've had the medication on time. I feel that particularly male doctors have been really supportive and empathetic. My experience is really good with them.
And according to you, how important a role does stress play in PCOS?
My only case with PCOS is stress. So I've kind of had a traumatic childhood. I've been an overthinker. I've been stressed. I might have not been showing it at the age of 13 back then or even now, but the subconscious holds it in. I stress over trivial things, I overthink, or I'm evidently sad because the lifestyle change that PCOS demands is extremely difficult. And that too in a brown household where oil and ghee are the secret ingredients to food. Call me ignorant, but stress is the only reason I have PCOS and weight gain.
How do you think society adds to the problem?
The shallow mentality that lingers around PCOS adds to the problem. The patient feels different and alienated. People shy away from accepting that they have PCOS. I want to tell people that PCOS doesn't make us any less of humans or for that matter infertile. We can very much bear babies and have normal married lives. People feel that PCOS women are problematic and aren't normal females. Our society really needs to deal with the fact that girls or women who have PCOS can also get a good match, irrespective of the fact whether people know about it or not. Shushing around it won't really solve the problem, because it's just like diabetes or blood pressure. Why not talk about it openly? I have friends who are lean and have PCOS. I have friends with no symptoms who have PCOS. I want to tell people that PCOS isn't just with heavy females. It's normal. It's the outcome of an unhealthy lifestyle adopted by people across over the years. Most of all, PCOS is not infertility. Let's just bust this myth.
Samreen compels us to ask ourselves some hard questions today. We as a society may have added to the problem by putting the onus of worthiness on a woman. Yes, health is wealth. And more importantly, right now when we are caged in the middle of a pandemic. And she rightly puts, let's just bust some myths today. It is a syndrome that can be managed, and what better time than to start right now. Dwelling more into PCOS, I talked to my second guest today, Dr. Sabahat Rasool, who is a doctor by profession with specialization in obstetrics and gynecology and sub-specialization in reproductive medicine and infertility, a visiting fellow of Center of Excellence in PCOS at Monash University, Melbourne. Dr. Sabahat worked as reproductive medicine and infertility consultant in Mumbai for 5 years before she returned to Kashmir to join as an obstetric and gynecology consultant at Lal Dedh Hospital. She is an executive committee member of the PCOS Society of India, which is a first of its kind multidisciplinary platform for promoting research in PCOS and aims at increasing awareness about PCOS both among health professionals as well as doctors. She is also the associate editor of Pandora, which is the official newsletter of the society. Dr. Sabahat, can you explain what PCOS really is?
Polycystic ovary syndrome, or PCOS, is a hormonal disorder of women and girls of childbearing age. Now, these women or girls, they have irregular and delayed periods. They have unwanted hair growth. They will have loss of scalp hair. They will have patches of baldness on their scalp. And they will have that typical stubborn acne, which, you know, refuses to go. And if it goes, it keeps coming back again and again. Now, they gain weight very easily, and they have a difficult time losing weight. And later on, when they get married and they want to start a family, they again have problems getting pregnant. Now, we have to understand that the more the weight, the more are the symptoms of PCOS, the more severe the disease gets. Having said that, we also have to understand that you can have PCOS even if you are lean. You know, you are thin, you can still have PCOS, while as if you are obese and you are overweight, you can still have PCOS, but your symptoms are going to be more severe. Now, as far as the diagnosis of PCOS is concerned, criteria number one is having irregular periods, you know, and the interval between periods is longer than 35 days, or typically you have lesser than 9 periods in a whole calendar year. This is criteria number one. Now, if you look at criteria number two, that's excess male hormone, which manifests as excessive unwanted hair growth. It also manifests as acne and loss of scalp hair, sometimes patches of baldness. Now, criteria number three is the ultrasound diagnosis of polycystic ovaries. Now, how we diagnose polycystic ovaries in ultrasound is these ovaries are typically more enlarged than normal, and they have more number of eggs, what we call as follicles in medical terminology. But these follicles are basically the ones that are not functioning normally and they fail to ovulate. But what we really need to understand is that PCOS is beyond these cosmetic and menstrual and body image concerns. It is a disorder which you are born with, and it goes all the way with you through your life. And later on in life, you are at a very high risk of developing long-term serious health problems like diabetes, like high blood pressure, like cholesterol problems, and mental health disorders, mood and anxiety disorders, as well as some form of uterine or womb cancer. You know, the exact cause of PCOS, we're not able to completely understand how it happens. But what we do know as of now is that there are multiple genes which are, which can cause PCOS by some sort of complex interplay. But they also have to have some kind of environmental trigger. What basically happens at hormonal level is because of this genetic and environmental interplay, there is body's insensitivity to an extremely important and vital hormone, which is called insulin. Now, insulin is the blood sugar regulating hormone in the body, which is secreted by pancreas. And it is absolutely important for maintaining normal and healthy blood sugar levels, as well as for providing energy to each and every cell in the body. So you can understand how vital this hormone is. Now, what basically happens in PCOS, that body kind of stops responding to normal levels of insulin, or if it responds suboptimally. It doesn't respond normally. So what happens is that more and more of insulin is secreted initially to cope up, and finally the organ which secretes insulin gets spent out, and you know, then you have all sorts of problems coming in.
We've often heard that PCOS makes pregnancy impossible. Is it a myth?
All right, so let's first get to understand how a woman gets pregnant. Now, immediately after your period is over, there is a set of eggs, or there's a single egg in your ovaries which starts to grow, and it reaches an optimum size. Then your brain kind of triggers the release of a hormone which helps this egg come out of the ovary. This process is called ovulation. Now, this whole process is somehow not happening in PCOS at all. So either the egg is not growing at all, or it's growing to a suboptimal size and is getting arrested there, or it's growing to an optimal size but then there is no release of the egg from the ovary. So that's called anovulation, means there is no ovulation happening at all. Now obviously, if there is no ovulation, there's going to be no pregnancy. Now we have to understand why this happens. Why this happens is because there's a high level of insulin, there is a high level of male hormone or androgen. Now both these hormones, they come in the way of normal process of ovulation. Now if a woman optimizes her body weight, okay, forget about optimization, let's talk about losing only 5-10% of body weight, these hormones kind of start coming back to their normal, and as soon as they are coming back to their normal, there is a normal spontaneous ovulation happening from the ovary. Now if there is an ovulation happening from the ovary, so there is obviously a brighter chance of getting pregnant. Now even after normalization of body mass index or your body weight, if you have still have difficulty getting pregnant, then we have some medicines to help you with. These are oral medicines and they're called ovulation induction agents. So basically they help in growth of the eggs from the ovaries and then finally the release of the egg. And if they also fail, then the final resort is IVF, what we call as in vitro fertilization, or what is generally known as test tube baby.
And what about lifestyle modifications? What would you like to add about it?
What they really mean is that you make some changes in your lifestyle that makes your life and your general health definitely better. So it's necessary that these lifestyle changes are acceptable to you, and most importantly, they are sustainable. Because if you take up a lifestyle change and then you're not able to sustain it, it's not going to do any great magic in your PCOS management. Now, healthy, balanced eating, a regular exercise program, decreasing your sedentary and sitting times, definitely cutting down on your screen times, which is the most important thing right now, quitting smoking altogether, limiting alcohol intake, a good and regular sleep pattern, and basically being more up and about all the time is what we mean by lifestyle modification in PCOS. We do not want our patients to be crash dieting or following a definite diet like a keto or a Mediterranean or an Atkins diet. There is no diet which has been proved to be better than others in PCOS. There is no particular form of exercise which has been proved to be better in PCOS compared to others. What we really need is a modest reduction of carbohydrates, a modest and a definite reduction of carbohydrates and fats. And we also need to up the protein intake, and we need to make exercise an absolute must. Because even if you diet and you follow a good, healthy, balanced diet and you lose weight, you will not be able to sustain it unless exercise is a part of your life. Now, what kinds of exercise is best for PCOS? It's usually a vigorous aerobic exercise, and it can be alternated with strength or muscle training exercises as well. Now, you also have to understand that you still have to have lifestyle modifications if you are lean. It's not meant for only obese and overweight population. If you are a lean PCOS, you still have to have lifestyle modifications. And another thing that we need to understand is that lifestyle modifications, they're not only helping you with weight, and that's not the only target that we have. They help you normalize your body composition. They kind of promote your general and psychological well-being. They lower the amount of dangerous visceral fat that you have in your body. So there may be no change in your weight at all, but there will be a healthy shifting of body composition. Exercise also promotes your mental health, and you have to understand that since you are a PCOS patient, you are at a higher risk of abnormal mental health, and so exercise will target that part as well.
Lifestyle modification is really the key. Both Samreen and Dr. Sabahat agree on that. Easier said than done, a healthy lifestyle is really the most important factor in dealing with and managing PCOS, or any other ailment for that matter. A nutritious diet, a lot of exercising, some soulful mindfulness, and rejuvenating yourself every now and then. Let's add all of that to our to-do lists. Maybe we can take PCOS head on, and that could be that one thing we women really do for ourselves. This is your host, Isbind, signing off for now. Before I go, I'd like to thank Adeep, who's known by his Instagram handle as adeep.shafiq, who created our theme track. We now bring to you our featured music for today's episode by a talented young girl from Kashmir, Fatima Shamim. Fatima is a medical student. Yes, you heard that right. Studying in her fourth year in Georgia, she loves to write, sing, and play her guitar whenever she gets the chance to. Fatima has been living outside of Kashmir most of her life, but what she has carried along with her are her roots, her sense of ethnic identity, and her voice that she sings melodious Kashmiri songs around with. Today, she sings a Bollywood favorite, Roshe, for us. If you do enjoy her music, do give her a thumbs up on her Instagram profile, Fatima Shamim _.
Madnu tsa. machine.